Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast. As we roll into episode 202, we're into January. And I'm the host of the show, Brad Rude, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. Blake, holy cow, I think the Jets just scored on the Canucks again.
Yep. 7-4. Second beating for the old Nuckies in Winnipeg in 12 days.
Did they go for the two-point conversion on that then last night?
No. Kyle Connor had a hat trick second game. Shifley had a hat trick the first game. Winnipeg owns Vancouver though, so not really a shock there. I mean, I think
who doesn't?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I think they're like 20. I want to say they're 23-5-1 in their last like 29 games. Like it's something crazy like that. But
so what?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. We could talk for hours on why the Canucks are so bad defensively, but saying before the show started.
Well, I got a question. I got an answer for you. You want me to answer the question?
Yeah, sure. Whatever. Fire away.
They just have a bunch of D. They're pylons. They don't work hard. And they.
I think you got some forwards that don't work hard. I saw JT Miller was back to his.
Whatever. We can talk about him every episode.
Like, I know, because he's lazy every game.
But like, I'm talking like Tyler Myers, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, like the guys that are making vet men, like Kyle Burrows and Luke Shen, they battle their ass off more than guys are making $6 million.
It's usually how it goes, though, Blake.
If you had like, if the Canucks had four Luke Shens on the team, they'd probably be in the playoffs.
I heard Luke Shen's going to Calgary.
Maybe. Second round, third round pick. I mean, that's all it's going to cost. I don't know.
I think he's a good depth guy for any team that gets him. I really do.
Yeah, he's a guy that is capable of playing in the top four.
He's not on a competitive team. He's not.
Well, I mean, he could play top four, but he's a perfect like 5-6 guy
for a team that's winning. He's a 5-6 guy. You better be
right now. He's fucking two. But like. He works his ass off, and I have lots of time for guys like that.
Busy week for me. We had a family get together in Grand Forks, watched some really good hockey, and had quite a bit of fun.
You got to see Jason Blake.
I did. I visited with Jason Blake for a bit of time. It's crazy. After I got done visiting with him, I knew him when he was younger. Hadn't seen him in years and visited with him and had a beer with him. And it's crazy to think after he left, I was just doing some hockey DB, and it's just like.
Hey, he played 900 games.
900 plus games, you know, was a Bill Masterton winner.
It's crazy.
It's crazy. He's a good hockey player.
You know what's crazy about Jason Blake? If he played in today's NHL,
he'd even be better.
Would have not counted. That guy scored so many goals off his ass and like
he was
running
fast,
into the goalie. Yeah, but like,
he wasn't doing a lot of running into the goalie. He's like 5'8".
Just went to the net like a bat out of hell.
Probably 5'10". He's not a big guy. I mean.
No,
he's in fast.
When you think he's a good player.
When you think of him, what team do you think of him playing on?
For me, I think of Anaheim or Toronto. That's just because of my age.
I think of the Islanders.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see him play in the Islanders. So, I mean, that was in the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Early 2000s, yeah. So, I view him as a Leaf / Duck.
Winter Classic TV ratings came out. I thought this was interesting. Sellout crowd of 39,243 watched the game live. It averaged 1.8 million viewers on TNT, up 31% from last year's Winter Classic between the Blues and Wild in Minnesota. And that surprised me because this year, like, I could have given two shits less about this game. I didn't even turn it on.
Watch I watched the last 10 minutes of the third.
I thought not having it on New Year's Day is death.
But it's like the two. It's also the two teams are playing. Like it's two pretty good teams. I mean, you got Crosby going up against Pasternak, and I mean, you got a lot of star power there, right? And that's two pretty big fan bases. And I mean, in Fenway, like I thought it was a pretty cool setup there. Like I thought it was all right.
Yeah. I guess I'm just done with outdoor games.
You're a traditionalist. You don't like outdoor games.
No, I don't mind outdoor games. I don't know. If I'm paying $200 to go to watch a hockey game, I'm not sitting outside in the fucking cold out in left field 600 yards away.
Would you go to the Heritage Classic next year?
No, I already talked about it. Going to go and I've already made
that bad because the seats are close.
No, they're not as close as they are in the Rexel place or the Rexel.
No, obviously not.
I'm watching a hockey game indoors. I mean, if I'm going to pay,
yeah, but you go for the experience. So like that's once in a lifetime stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, once in a lifetime stuff where you don't see.
Yeah, but it's still cool just to be there. It'd be cool just to be there.
I don't know. I'd just rather go spend my time and my money seeing
in-close,
real hockey game. Not have to worry about it raining and then making the ice shit. I mean, I don't know. I watched the Blue Jackets the other night and the Washington Capitals. The Capitals win. And at the end of the game, they frickin' Blue Jackets. This tells you a little bit about this team. They just leave Elvis Merlekins out there hanging by himself at the end of the game. Nobody even came off the bench to congratulate him.
They lost.
They lost.
I mean, I feel like that's pretty normal, though.
Bullshit. Your Canucks lose every night.
Right down the tunnel.
You come out to your goalie. Watch a game tonight.
I've seen that before, where guys just go, they're okay on the bench, they just go right down the tunnel.
Well, no? That's a sign of a fractured team.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of know that. Right, I mean, we were really puzzled when Gaudreau weren't there, right? And we were they got some young pieces, like they got some young talent there.
Who's the veteran leadership that leaves your goalie hanging out by himself at the end of the
game? I'm not saying like that. That's obviously like
that's a big problem.
But like they got some young good players.
I don't know. That's a bad team for the next 5 years in my mind. Unless they move up the thing and
get the 3-4.
They probably could get the first pick this year. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe. They could.
Yep. There's a lot of teams that could use that. What's his name? Connor Bedard. I think he's pretty good at hockey, no?
Well, we'll see how it translates to the NHL.
We talked about that last week, right? Yeah. Like kind of about it.
Mid-season struggles. We're going to talk about it today, about some teams struggling, and we're going to go through our predictions, kind of see where we're at mid-season. We'll go around the league, talk about NHL All-Stars, touch on the World Juniors. We'll talk about Shane Wright going back to Juniors. Verana on waivers, $15 million man. UC Saros, spectacular. And, ball buster in Winnipeg. All right, Blake. We do it at the quarter mark, we do it at the halfway mark, and we usually do it right at the end of the season. We take a look at our predictions, and we see how crappy we're doing. Speaking of crappy, let's talk about a couple teams that both me and you and everybody else in the hockey world expected them to be good, and they're not. And the two teams heading the list are the Florida Panthers. Yeah. And one team that I still think we need to talk about, a team I still think we'll get it together, but the Colorado Avalanche are definitely not sitting where any of us expected them to be sitting this year.
Yeah, but I mean, I kind of put an asterisk beside that because, I mean, all teams deal with injuries, but I mean, man, like, it feels like they've just been hurt all year. I mean, They just finally got McKinnon back, first time in 5 weeks.
I will agree with you on that.
Byram's out. Landeskog's out.
But Washington has had more injuries, and they've got 11 more points.
Yeah, but they, like, there are two guys. They just, I think they just came back, right? Backstrom and Wilson, right? They got
activated. Well, I think Wilson played his first game the other night. But, yeah, I mean, they're just starting to get guys back.
Backstrom's back. Like, they're starting to get healthy, too. And they were kind of already on a roll before those guys came back, too. So that would be interesting to see, like, kind of what goes on there. But, I mean, I'm fully expecting Colorado. Like, they might be one of the best wild card teams to ever.
I don't think they'll end in a wild card position.
Like, yeah, like, and I could see that too. Like, they could easily finish third in the division. I don't think they're
third.
Gonna win.
I don't know. Like, I could see them finishing third. Yep. I don't think they're catching.
I don't think they're gonna catch Winnipeg or Dallas.
They could catch Dallas. I'm waiting every day for a Dallas slump.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't
seen it.
No, like, they're really dynamite at home too. I think they're like 12-4 or something, but, Yeah, like if the Avalanche finish in a wild card spot and I'm a division leader, I'm shitting my pants because that ain't a wild card team. Like, on paper, like, that's a division winner's former, like, Stanley Cup champion last year. Like, that's, they might limp into the playoffs, but that's a dangerous team in a 7-game series against anybody.
And we'll talk about the West here first. We always talk about the East first. Let's do it. Let's talk about the West first. And I'm looking at it, and as I look at it, I'm shocked by the division leaders. Neither one of us had Dallas or Vegas winning the division. No. Sadly, I had Vegas fifth, and you had them sixth. I had Dallas fifth. You had Dallas fifth. So a lot of surprises at the top there. Winnipeg, I had picked to be second. You didn't have Winnipeg in the playoffs. You didn't pick six, so you don't know what you're doing there. Minnesota, I had third. You had them third.
That's where they are right now.
Yep. LA, I had them third. You had them third. They're close. Seattle, I had dead last, and you had them dead last. So, I mean, there's some really big shocks so far with those teams. I also believe it's shocking when you see that Calgary and Edmonton and Colorado are the teams fighting for the wild card spots. St. Louis is teetering. They're right even with Colorado. I had St. Louis making the playoffs. You had them not making the playoffs. I don't even know. You had them in second. You had St. Louis in second.
Mm-hmm.
So they're underachieving. Teams that you had in the playoffs that are not in there now is Vancouver and Nashville and St. Louis. I had St. Louis.
Well, and Colorado's out too.
I got all of them but one. Well, I guess Colorado's technically out right now.
No, you did not.
If you count Colorado, I did. I only had one team, not the only team that
you had St. Vegas Louis out of the playoffs. You had Seattle out of the playoffs. That's two.
Oh yeah, I guess. What the hell?
You had Colorado at in the playoffs. They're out. That's three.
Yeah.
So three. I got one, two, three, four right out of eight. That's good. Not
real good.
You got five. I got four.
I think there's going to be some changes. Who do you think drops out, and who do you think moves in?
I think Calgary takes Seattle's spot in the Pacific, and then I think Edmonton and Colorado make the wild cards.
I think Colorado gets up to third in the Central. Winnipeg wins the Central.
And then Minnesota will take the other wild card. Like, I think they're
Dallas will take the other wild card.
Who?
It'll be Winnipeg, Colorado, Minnesota. With a wild card of Dallas, it'll be Vegas, L.A., Calgary, Edmonton, and the other wild card.
Like, do you think Seattle can hang on to a wild card? Like, that's the question you got to ask yourself. No. Like, I don't know, but it's like.
But they keep winning. They're seven. They've won seven of their last ten, and they're getting tons of shots on net.
They've won five in a row, about to be six in a row. They're just pummeling Montreal right now.
Are they?
I think it's like 4-0. Doesn't this kind of remind you of Vegas' first year in the league?
Yes, but not as they're not.
They're not as talented as Vegas was, but it's the same narrative. Oh, like this team's gonna fall apart. All year we said Vegas is gonna tumble. They're gonna tumble. And boom, they're in the Cup final.
But one thing Vegas had that Seattle doesn't is a proven winning goaltender.
It's been a pretty good resurgence for Martin Jones.
Not joking. I agree with you 100%. I'm just saying, when it comes to the clutch, getting into the postseason. Yeah,
there's a big difference between Martin Jones and Fleury. That's 100%. 100% agree with you, but like, it's the same era. We're just waiting for Seattle to tumble down the standings, and here they are, 23-12-4, and they're 2 points out of, 2 points out of second. They're about to be, if they're going to win tonight, they're going to be in second place with
Blake, and don't forget
three
they have
games in hand.
Three games
in hand.
They're going to be tied,
and they're going to be 4 points behind Vegas with two games in hand. Like, they're knocking on the door in first place.
Well, like, no, none of us saw that.
It just reminds me of Vegas' first year. Everybody, including myself, was like, they're going to stumble. They're going to stumble. We're waiting for it, and we haven't seen it. They're about to win seventh or sixth in a row.
Can we agree that Nashville, Vancouver, San Jose, Arizona, Anaheim, and Chicago are dead?
They are on Connor Bedard watch. That's not a very fun place to be with over half of your games left in the season. Sucks.
Basically, we've got it decided besides two teams.
What did you say, sorry?
We pretty much have the West decided minus two teams.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's basically, I mean, I guess you could throw Nashville in there because, I mean, technically they're only 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Like, and they've won three in a row, and they're kind of finding their way. Saros has been
getting
amazing.
Really good goaltending. We're going to talk about Saros here in a bit. Yeah. Like, he's been otherworldly lately. So, I would throw Nashville in that. I mean, Nashville, St. Louis, Colorado, Calgary, Edmonton for two spots. Five teams for two spots.
Would you be shocked if I told you Calgary didn't make the playoffs?
I think that would be one of the biggest disappointments in recent memory because of the offseason that they had and the expectations that they had. I mean, we both picked them to win the Stanley Cup. Like, a lot of teams picked them to win the Stanley Cup. And like, if they missed the playoffs, I mean, that would be devastating. I mean, they had one of the best off seasons in the league, in my opinion. And
I agree, but they are a new team.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of roster turnover, and then the chemistry and whatnot. Like, that stuff's a big deal, right? And we're still waiting for Huberto to break out of his shell in Calgary. We haven't quite seen it. He's starting to shoot the puck a little bit more, but I mean,
I think expectations are a little inflated for Jonathan Huberto.
Rightfully so. He came over as the major piece replacing Tkachuk, and he got that 8-year extension. Like, yeah, there's going to be expectations. You ain't in Florida anymore, dude. You're one of the biggest Canadian markets in the world, in the country.
So who's been a bigger disappointment, Uyghur or Huberto?
I would say Huberto because I still think Uyghur's playing. He's not playing up to his standards, but I mean, I think he's been a little bit better than Huberto. No,
I don't know. I'm not throwing out.
Fans are just turning on this guy in year one of his contract.
On who?
Huberto.
Because they're nuts. They're crazy.
Like, holy man. Like, let him figure it out here.
Blake, let's talk. I mean, I'm not comparing to Joe Schmo on Twitter after Forjack Daniels.
You don't got to believe everything you see on Twitter, but there's a lot of Flames fans that are like, what's going on here?
Well, yeah, because you expect miracles, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's.
Right?
It is a lot of extra pressure on the guy, though. Okay. He's going from Florida, where he gets six fans a game, to Calgary.
It's not even that. It's just. You're playing with all new people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's been a lot better lately. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, no, he's just shooting the puck a lot more, I've noticed. And it seems like he's getting into a little bit of a groove, but, I mean.
The whole team's scoring. It's not Jonathan Huberto.
They need him to get going, though. They need him to get going.
They also need to figure out how to keep the puck out of their net. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, what was it last night? 3 goals on 11 shots for Markstrom against one of the worst teams in the league?
I don't necessarily blame that on Markstrom. I blame one of them.
There was a couple that's like, oh, what's going on? Like, what is that?
There's a couple defensemen standing there.
They kind of left him hung out to dry a little
bit. A couple defensemen standing there with a post up their ass taking a look at the guy going by him.
And how about like that? On that overtime goal, it's like, who was that? Was it Anderson or was it Danif?
I don't even know.
That just let Domi walk right down Main Street there. It's like.
Probably wasn't Tanev, because Tanev usually doesn't see a lot of ice time in overtime.
Yeah, so it's probably Anderson.
I don't know. It could have been Hannafin. Yeah. Hannafin had a rough night last night, I thought.
Yeah. Can't be losing those ones. There's no such thing as a gimme in the NHL anymore. Anybody can beat anybody, but I mean, you got to be beating those teams. Like, they're, what, third last? Yeah. Like, you got to bank those points.
Is Vegas for real?
In a dogfight for a playoff spot.
Vegas for real?
I mean, yeah. I mean, you're going to have to say yeah. I mean, you're all in now. I mean, you're just going to keep making yourself look like a damn fool if you don't, right? We both picked them to finish sixth. And here they are.
I don't know. I keep waiting for those three teams in the Pacific to stumble, and none of them do. So I don't know.
LA, I don't think it's going to stumble. LA is a good young team. They're a good young team.
The only thing that you look at LA, they are the only team where their goal differential is in the negative.
Yeah.
That is not a usual good sign for making the playoffs.
No, but
it's not.
They're 9 games over 500.
I know, but that's usually. It's not a recipe for long-term success.
No.
That'll be interesting to watch. Let's go on over to the East, and the team I wanted to talk about first, and the team that when I look at the standings right now, I go, how is this team not there? And that's the President's Trophy winner last year, the Florida Panthers. Where are we at with Florida? Why is this happening? They move Weegar and Huberto out. They bring in Tkachuk. Why is this? Is this just... What's going on in Florida?
First of all, it's a culture shock. It was a culture shock to trade those two players, homegrown players that have been in the organization for almost 8 to 10 years, right? Like that's a big change. I mean, and for a team that won the President's Trophy, when it happened, it's like, why did they make this move? Like,
well, I mean, they say that they wanted to be grittier. I don't know. They're bringing in Tkachuk brings that in the playoffs, but
Huberto's just as gritty as Tkachuk. It depends on how you look at it.
He's not the after the whistle shit like Tkachuk is. No,
but he'll go in the corner and lay you out.
Yeah, I would say he's just as solid of a checker as Matthew Tkachuk.
And then you give up your best team man and a first-round pick and a top prospect. It's like, you kind of ask yourself, like, what did we expect here? I mean, Spencer Knight hasn't been great, right? He hasn't been great.
Which is surprising to me.
Bobrovsky is what he is the last 3 years. He hasn't been great, right? And that's a huge – that's like – just a huge anchor for them because he holds an eighth of their cap. Like, it's, I don't know. Buffalo's resurgence is crazy to me. Like, here they are rattling off 8 of 10.
Okay, so let's talk about that. So they win 8 in a row, right? Now they lose tonight.
Like they just lost yesterday, but yeah, like 8 in a row before last night's loss.
And then they lose again tonight.
Yeah.
To a crappy Philadelphia Flyers team.
Yeah.
I don't know. This team is like bipolar.
I mean, 8-1 to start the year, and then you lose 9-13. Then they have their run, and then they lose. And then they have their run. So it's just like an up-and-down roller coaster right now for Buffalo. And here they are, right? They're 4 points of a playoff spot.
I want to cheer for them, don't you?
We're in January. I want Buffalo to make the playoffs.
So do I.
First of all, they got a great fan base, and it's good for the NHL when Buffalo's in the playoffs, right?
I don't think they get in, though.
Wouldn't you agree?
I think it's great for the league.
Like, that's one of the biggest markets in the NHL. Believe it or not, like, it's a huge market.
It's a huge television market for the NHL. It's a huge television market.
Huge in the U.S. I think it's probably a top five market.
It is for television.
Top three?
For television, it is.
Yeah, like, it's.
But here's the deal, though. I don't think there's room for in the playoffs for this team.
Oh, my God. Because
Carolina is a.
They're running away.
They're a pony, man.
Win. I think they might win the President's Trophy.
This team is cocked, loaded, and for real. Washington has come
on. Nah, maybe not. Boston's win the President's Trophy. What am I talking about?
Boston's another team. They are 32-4-4. Winners of four in a row. Winners of eight of their last 10. This is a train. These two teams are by far the best two teams in the National Hockey League. Yeah. Then you sit and you look at teams like Toronto. I still have Tampa Bay up there, albeit they are sitting with 49 points. Washington's won 7 of their last 10. They've got things going. They are scoring a ton of goals this year. Well,
and they're getting their best playmaker back, too. Like, that's Backstrom is a huge part of that team. So is Tom Wilson. Like, yeah, Tom Wilson does some dumb shit, but he's an integral part of that team. Like, that guy stirs the drink in Washington.
Is New Jersey falling out of this?
I don't think so. I mean,
I do.
They are 2 points out of being in a wild card spot. But I mean, when you get off to such a good start, I mean, you're gonna stumble. Like, you can't sustain that, right?
No. But they haven't sustained it really well at all, and they've struggled a lot lately. And Rangers have been coming on.
Yeah, they have been better. They've won 6 of their last 10 points in 8 of their last 10. The team that is the most interesting is the Pittsburgh Penguins. Like, this team is in a wild card spot right now. They just extended Malkin. They just extended Letang. Crosby's due to be a UFA in 2 years. I wonder if this team makes a big swing for the fence at the deadline. Like trades for a Bo Horvat, trades for Timo Meier, a Thomas Hurdle type, just one last swing here. We're gonna go all in here. I mean, Ronnie Hextall and Brian Burke ain't no stranger to swinging big deals at the deadline. Like, those guys have been around for a while, and I'm thinking, like, this, they might look at this, hey, like, we just re-signed Malkin and Letang, but, like, this year might be our last kick of the can, right? Like, this might be it. This might be it. And, like, they haven't missed the playoffs since they drafted Crosby in 05 or 06, sorry. And, that streak's in danger for sure.
We both had Pittsburgh in the playoffs in our predictions. Yep. And I don't know that they're not there. I do think it's going to be a dogfight. I don't see Florida getting back in. I think Buffalo will fall short, unfortunately. I feel like the Islanders are going to push the Devils out. I think the Rangers are going to be up there. And I think, you know, Pittsburgh's fighting for that final spot, maybe.
Yep. No, I think did we both not, like, 4 weeks ago say that New Jersey's a lock for playoffs? When they were in first
NHL. I did not say they were a lock. I said it would be a devastating blow to get off to that big of a start, have that big of a lead, and not make the playoffs.
The one thing that New Jersey's got going for them, though, is they're like 14-2 on the road. Like, they're a really good road team, and if they can just get some more wins at home in front of their fans, like,
you can look at that as a positive or a negative, Blake.
No, I know. But, I mean, usually when you're that good on the road, I mean, odds are you're going to be a playoff team. Because, I mean, those are crazy points to pick up on the road. It's hard to win on the road, and they're really good.
Two amazing things when you look at the Eastern Conference. Boston's plus 68 in goal differential.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, I picked them to finish fourth, but missed the playoffs. I had 5 from the Metro. And just making me look stupid here. Like, they might break the all-time points record set by the Habs in the 80s. Like,
I don't know.
It's insane how they've only lost. They play 40 games. 40.
They have records
regulation moments. is.
They rival like the Montreal Canadiens of the 50s.
Oh, it's insane, man. And like Allmark, I think he's like 25-1. Like it is insane, man.
Man,
like,
if that
I wonder what they're gonna do at the deadline, or do you just not do anything?
No, you don't screw with this. You do not screw with this.
But if you have a chance to pick up like a Horvat, do you not?
No.
Like, do you not entertain that?
No, because you can't afford to give up assets because that train's running dry soon.
Yeah, that is true.
Why? See, how do you stop?
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
They've lost four games.
I'm with you. I'm with you. They've lost eight, but four, Greg. I'm with you. I wouldn't touch this roster. Just what you got going is incredible. But like that's a team like Pittsburgh too. Like a little bit of an older team, right? Like, you know what I mean? The biggest wild card is Toronto. I mean,
why do you say that? What do you mean?
I feel like Toronto is going to do something very, very dumb at the trade deadline.
Well, you say they didn't.
Like they are gonna
this
overpay.
Is 1 year they're proving you wrong because they're getting out of the first round this year.
If they play Tampa Bay first round, they are not coming out of the first round. I will promise you. I will put any money on that.
Well, they're going to play Tampa Bay because those standings are not changing.
If I'm in Toronto, get a wild card spot and take your chances to Carolina.
Oh, jeez. It's time to go around the league. That's crucial. We got a bunch of topics to talk about. All-star announcements were given out. Any surprises, I guess, on the All-Stars? Or does nobody care like me? Because this is honestly the first time I've looked at him. Seth Jones.
I don't know.
Seth Jones.
I don't even know who.
Seth Jones.
I don't even know who's in the thing.
Oh, my God. Seth Jones. That's like.
When I saw that Pettersson was in over Horvat, I was like, what is going on here?
Well, that's just because the team names him. And
Horvat has 29 goals.
I know, but they know they're getting rid of him. So
stupid.
I guess there's voting in. Now you can vote in some more guys. And
okay. Did you see that Shane Wright is on the ballot?
Shut up.
Imagine if he was voted in as an all-star for Seattle. Would the NHL have to make him come, even though he's in the OHL?
No.
How hilarious would that be?
What else is a joke? Is I see Milan Lucic is out there surfing for all-star votes.
Oh,
God. I saw this on Twitter and I thought, yeah, that is so Lucic. That guy.
Fun with the
no,
fans.
He's.
Come on.
You don't
he's
do that.
Not, he's not being serious.
He is.
He's joking around.
No. He's serious. He said his daughters want him to be named an all-star. Daughters don't know why he's not an all-star. He said the only way I can get in is if the fans vote me in to make my daughters happy. He's out there surfing for frickin' votes, man. He's a
good hockey player.
He's got a boat anchor for a... It's... God, it irritated the living piss out of me.
Shocker. Brad is the old man yelling at clown.
Jesus. John Scott bullshit. I hate the All-Star game anyways.
Yeah, the frozen pucks and the alligators, it's gonna be cool.
Did you happen to see Thatcher Demko's quote this week?
No, I did not.
He had a quote this week. And he's been injured and been out of the limelight, but he had a quote this week.
When did he get interviewed?
He was interviewed.
I'm surprised I didn't even see this. What did it say?
He said the IIH refs made the worst call that he's ever seen in hockey. Actually, the quote is this: "Worst call I've seen in a long time."
So this has to do with how rigged the tournament is, right? Because
I didn't say it was
Canada Canada, like, it's IIHF rules. It has nothing to do with Canada. It's the IIHF. Nothing. It's like, when I saw it, it's like, oh, these are in-house calls for Canada. It's like, dude, that's the rules for IIHF.
I have not. I've yet.
Finland, Russia, Czech Republic. It's going to be the same everywhere you go.
I've yet to talk to one normal hockey fan that says that the first of the two disallowed goals shouldn't have been a goal.
I literally told you that it should have counted.
Changes a whole bunch, though. Changes a whole bunch of the game.
It would have been 3-3.
Changes a whole bunch. I'm just saying that.
I get it, but the second goal, American fans.
That should
have been a goal.
No,
you can't push a goalie's pad.
They were just mad from the first one still. Okay, but here's the problem. I think in hockey, Blake, and I came to this conclusion yesterday when I'm driving. I think we need to go back to the Brett Hull rule.
When Canada was challenging that first disallowed goal, I thought they were challenging for a crease violation because a player is not allowed to skate in the crease in IIHF. That they've blown it dead a few times in the tournament, but like that's what I thought they were doing at first. Then they said goal interference. I'm like, not much there, but like, yeah. If you're gonna call it, it's got to be called every game.
Well, we have to have a and I'm not just talking about IIHF anymore. I'm done talking about that.
But that rule better not come to the NHL.
It already is, Blake. We've talked about it. Just listen. We've already argued 10 times this year. Nobody knows what goalie interference is.
No, I'm talking about the Brett Hull rule. That's stupid.
We have to have it that way. At least it's black and white. Right now, the referees have no idea what's goalie interference, and that's why every night we have reviews in the NHL, too, that we don't know what it's going to be as fans, coaches, or nobody knows.
You're telling me the NHL and the IIHF, as soon as a guy steps foot in the crease, it's blown dead?
No. If the puck goes in the net while somebody's in the crease, regardless if he's touching the goalie or not, it's no goal. If you run into the goalie,
that was in the NHL up until the lockout, right? 2006, that changed.
Yeah, and they got rid of it because it was batshit crazy, stupid. But we have to go back to it because it's crazier and stupider now. I've seen guys get whistled for goalie interference when the goalie is on the top of the crease, outside of the crease, and there's contact made. I'm sorry, where's the player supposed to go anymore?
If the goalie's out of his crease, I mean, and he gets bumped, that's on the goalie.
Well, they're calling a goalie interference still. So we need a cut-and-dried rule because nobody knows what it is anymore. Nobody knows.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
I mean, that way at least it's with your fair game outside the crease. Anybody is standing in the crease, whether they're touching you or not, and the puck goes in the net, it's no goal. I don't know what else we do to make. We have to make this rule cut
and
dry.
There's so much gray area with reviews.
It's causing way too many problems.
Yeah.
Shane Wright sent to the OHL after the World Juniors, and now it looks like I'm hearing tonight that he's been traded to Windsor. Were you surprised at this or not?
I wasn't. I told you just at the start of the year that he needs to go back to junior. Right. He's stuck in the middle. He's too good for junior. He's not good enough for the NHL. He can't go to the American Hockey League. So he's going to go down there. He's going to play a shit ton of minutes. He's going to get traded to a contender like he just did to Windsor. And they hope that he wins the league or he goes on to the Mem Cup. That was the best decision Seattle ever made, was letting him go to Team Canada. Goes down there, plays meaningful hockey, plays a shit ton of minutes, is the captain. And I think it's good for his confidence, right? I mean, him sitting up in the press box in Seattle and just practicing and practicing and practicing. Yeah, like, sure, it's nice to collect an NHL paycheck, but, like, he needs to be developing somewhere. Like, it's not doing him any good for development sitting up in the press box eating popcorn. He needs to be playing hockey.
I completely agree. I agree completely. Jacob Verana put on waivers this week. He clears. From what I've learned on this topic, it's more than just being on waivers. He's coming out of, what's it called? I'm drawing a blank. the same place.
Was he in NHL assistance program?
Yes, there you go. The NHL assistance program. So we don't know what the story is going on. But he clears waivers and he's going to be sent down to the American Hockey League.
Well,
just a crazy thing.
The reason why he cleared waivers is because he's making $5.2 million.
Yes. And we don't know the depth of the problems either.
Right. Correct.
But I just think it's funny. On a night when Anthony Mantha gets benched, Jacob Verona clears waivers.
That was a big swap, right? Detroit and Washington.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That is crazy. I saw some, I guess not legitimate sites reporting that Austin Matthews is looking for $15 million when his contract comes to fruition. And I don't usually talk about things I see on sites I don't consider, I don't know, professional or legit sites. But I did find it interesting, and the only reason I want to talk to you about it is because it got me thinking. It got me thinking about the Leafs cap space. It got me thinking about what does he deserve? What should he be making? And is $15 million a legitimate number, Blake?
So what did McKinnon just sign for? He signed for 14.25?
I thought it was 13 something.
Let me look at it. Let's go to our favorite site here, Cap Friendly.
I already got it coming up. I got it fired up on the stream deck.
Where are we at here? Colorado. Okay, so it's 12.6. 12.6. So he's the highest paid player in the league. I don't know. I mean, it makes you wonder. If the Leafs went to Austin Matthews this draft and offered him and said, hey, we're going to pay you this much money, we're going to give you an 8-year deal. And if Austin Matthews says, I'm going to go to open market, do you think the Leafs would call up the Arizona Coyotes if they had the first overall pick and offered it for Connor Bedard? If they knew he wasn't going to sign, the Arizona Coyotes would have to legitimately think about that.
Sure, they would.
They'd take it seriously.
They would take it in a heartbeat. A proven NHL superstar for a guy that's not proven yet.
It's going to be a very interesting negotiation because could he get $15 million?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure, he could get $15 million. Is that the best option for Toronto to give him $15 million and tie their hands even more with a front loaded cap as is?
No.
Like they're paying four players right now up front on Fords, $40 million. That's half their cap. Like,
but you're willing to give away probably the second to fifth best player in the National Hockey League on hopes that Connor Bedard pans out. And then if he does pan out, then you're kicking the can down the road to pay him $25 million?
Right. No, the most you can get is 16.
No, well, by then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an answer for you because all I say is it's going to be a very interesting negotiation, but if it came out July 1st, because that's the first that he can sign an extension, that Matthews signed an 8-year deal worth $15 million, I wouldn't be surprised.
He's a
top 3 to 5 player, like you said. Top 3 to 5. He's probably, other than Ovechkin, the best goal scorer in the league.
Yeah.
So, those guys don't grow on trees, and those guys are hard to find. He's a 6'3" center. He's strong on the puck. Say what you want about his playoff performances. He's a hell of a player. And if he got $15 million, I wouldn't be surprised one bit.
Predators goalie UC Saros made the most saves in franchise history and the second most in a single NHL regular season game last week when he stopped 64 shots against the Hurricanes.
Yeah, that was crazy. And he lost the game. 64 saves and lost the game. Crazy. It reminded me of an 07 when Luongo made 72, but Luongo had four overtimes. He had four overtimes. I haven't seen a performance like that before.
Was this 2011, did you say?
No, 2007. Oh, my God.
I'm so tired of your Canucks references. Back in
2007. No, no, but I'm saying, like, I haven't seen a goaltender make that many saves.
Oh, that's crazy. Like,
it's like, you see a goalie make, like, 44 saves, like, okay, whatever, but 64, like, that's, what's worse? I mean, them losing or them giving up 68 shots or whatever it was, like, that's, they must have been bag skated the next day. Holy smokes.
I saw a report on this back when it happened in December, but I just saw the quotes this week from it. On December 15th, Josh Morrissey fired a slap shot that hit Blake Wheeler where you don't want to be hit.
Yeah. Ruptured his testicle and he finished the damn game.
He finished the game. And his quote was something that I want every soccer player to take note. His quote is, "There's a difference between being hurt and being injured. I didn't know I was injured until the next day." "It's not something that you want to go through again, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. But I feel real grateful that our medical staff and doctors we have in town took good care of me and were able to get everything taken care of and back as soon as I will be able to."
Like when I heard what happened, I'm like,
it is not. I've heard it happen many times.
The toughest athletes in the world.
I've heard it happen many times, but oh my!
It's not even close. It's not even close. The next toughest got to be football, but I mean, the hockey's the toughest athletes in the world.
Rodeo is probably the second.
Yeah, it's crazy how they just go on the bull like that. No protection, no shoulder pads, no helmet, nothing.
Well, they wear helmets now.
Your cowboy hat and your cowboy boots. Hey, we're going. It's like, holy shit.
All right, man, it's time for three questions.
It's time for three questions.
Last week it was my turn to fire questions at Blake. This week it is his turn to fire questions at me, Blake.
What's going on with my camera here? There we go.
I have no idea what's going on with the camera.
The full screen here.
There we go.
Okay, so I didn't know we were going to talk about like surprise disappointments. So my first question was, what is your biggest surprise so far this season? Like I was one of my questions.
That's still a question that's can be answered. I think my biggest surprise this year is the streakiness to this season. And not just with teams, but with players.
Yep.
And especially teams. It's just been just hot and cold streaks that have sent teams up high in the standings and down low in the standings. And then it's really been a streaky season.
Oh, look at Buffalo. they're the kings of streaky.
They're the poster
boys. It's crazy. Like we talked about Jason Robertson lighting the league. The guy can score in 15 games now. Like it's crazy.
It's just streaky.
Yeah. Okay. Second question. What D-man would you pick to build your team around, not named Cale Makar?
Oh, that's a tough question. Victor Hedman.
You know who I take?
Devontae.
Rasmus Dahlin.
That's a little risky.
Why? He's broke out this year.
I know, but it's this year. It still scares me. I got to see.
You don't think he can continue?
Yeah, I do. I do think he can. But if I'm building a team, I want to know.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? And then with Victor Hedman, I know he's older, but I know what I'm getting. Yeah,
right. Okay, third question. What is Tage Thompson's ceiling, and who is your player comparison, if you had to pick? Oh, my God. Who does he remind you of? First of all, what do you think his ceiling is? Like what do you think his ceiling is?
I believe he can be a top 10 scorer in the National Hockey League.
Like consistently or
yeah.
Like?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, I do. Who would I compare him to? A young.
I struggle to find a comparison.
A young Joe Thornton that can score.
Because, first of all, I haven't seen anybody this big with this good of hands that can skate and shoot the puck like he can. Like, I haven't. I struggled to find a guy that reminded me of Thompson.
Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, he's not. Blake Wheeler's not 6'6", though, is he?
No, but I mean, once you're up to 6'3", does it matter?
Like, 6'6", that's a big difference.
Well, I know, but, I mean, there's not a lot of... I mean, if you're going to compare him to forwards that are 6'6", there's going to... Good luck. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah.
Zahorna in Calgary reminds me of Zahorna in Calgary. How does that sound?
Stop. Tell me I'm biased.
How do you like that answer?
Listener question?
We got one. And it's the first time we've ever had a listener question that's about junior hockey.
Ooh. Okay.
All right. Steve DeRouge from Medicine Hat sent this via email. In lieu of the stupid, crazy junior hockey blockbuster trade we saw yesterday, should the Memorial Cup host city not receive an automatic bid to this prestigious tournament? And the trade he's talking about, let me preface yeah, this, is the Kamloops...
The Blazers for 9 picks and 4 players.
10 picks. The Kamloops Blazers get, who do they get? Zellweger and Hofer.
And Hofer.
For 4 players and 10 draft picks.
Yeah, one of them is conditional, so I'm not sure what the condition is on that, but...
The conditions
that yeah, it's crazy. You know, I talked to my dad for like 30 minutes about this trade because I think Zellweger is a great player and he had a fantastic World Juniors, one of Canada's best defensemen. But that being said,
here's what I don't understand.
If the Kamloops Blazers do not win the Memorial Cup or win a WHL title, this could be one of the most disastrous trades in Western Hockey League.
They're not winning a Western. How are they getting by Seattle?
I don't know. Like, Seattle just traded for Colton Dock, and they just got Brad Lambert from the Winnipeg Jets just assigned him there. So, like, it's a fascinating question. Should they get an automatic bid? I don't know. Because, I mean... There's been times where a perfect example is the Regina Pats in 2018. They got knocked out in the first round, sat around for 4 weeks, and then they went to the Memorial Cup final. Like, yeah, I mean.
Okay, here's my thing is. It is the WHL and the CHL, I mean, the whole, all the Canadian, are amazing hockey leagues with amazing talent.
Yeah.
And when teams are selling off like this for a run,
yeah,
it kills your franchise for the next decade.
Yeah, it does. Like that's what I said. If they don't win a Memorial Cup, they are screwed.
So here's the deal: is a Memorial Cup worth 10 years of crappiness? To me, it's not.
And okay, but the Memorial Cup is one of the hardest trophies to win, though. One of the hardest.
I agree with that. But you're selling tickets. You're a junior team.
Yeah.
You have to look at this long term. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and I'm thinking, okay, so I think this tournament is really hard to win. Really hard to win.
Yeah, it is.
Okay?
Yeah.
So we're going to let the host city get in. That's something you do at like a Legion baseball tournament. Like, yeah, we're going to let the host city get into the most prestigious tournament in Canadian junior hockey.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That would be like saying that whoever hosts the, you know, whatever the host city of the World Juniors, they automatically get into the Final Four.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it. It's too, to me, to answer Steve's question.
But like,
it's too prestigious of a tournament to do that.
You get a host and. As the Western Hockey League, you're gonna make more money if you allow the host city and because they're gonna buy more tickets, correct? In a way.
Yeah, for sure.
You're gonna make more money.
Let me throw this back at you. If this is the most prestigious tournament in Canada, shouldn't that be the selling point?
But also, you almost have to let the host, because there, you take the Western Hockey League winner, you take the Quebec, and then you take the, oh, that's only three teams. You can't have a tournament of three teams, Brad. Right.
Can you have a round robin tournament?
No. You gotta have at least four. You gotta have six.
Okay, so you have a wild card.
Get rid of the host city and just take whoever's in the final of the three leagues, and you send them to the Memorial Cup. You take the winner and you take the runner up and you send them to the Memorial Cup.
So you send six teams there.
Yeah, you could do that, but
I just, so right, I think
they have five, right? I think how it works.
Mean they have five. They have four teams. No, they have four teams that go. The winners of each.
Are you sure the runner up of the Western League doesn't go too?
No, the four teams go, and then the host city.
There's only three.
Yeah, that's, you have four teams in the tournament. You have three winners and the host city.
Okay, so yeah.
And if the host city happens to win it, then the second place goes in that division.
Right. That's what I was thinking about.
But the host city, tell me the last time the host city won their way in. That's the problem, Blake.
I like my idea. I don't think that's a bad idea.
I'd rather them, you know what, I think that your idea is way better. Have the championships for each of them at the Memorial Cup.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't like it. I don't like whole cities getting in. I think this is too prestigious of a tournament to just be letting in a team. You know, and so yeah, I don't know where
like,
it's...
Like I was talking about to my dad, like you're trading your first for the next 4 years, your seconds, your thirds, like... What the hell?
They traded their first round pick for the next 4 years.
Yeah, 4 years.
And having Jesus at center isn't worth that.
I think in the OHL you can't trade your first round picks. I think it's against the rules, because I think for Shane Wright they got 3 seconds and 3/3 for him.
They're getting four firsts.
Yeah,
four players, four firsts. 2 seconds, a fourth, a fifth, a third, and a sixth. That is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's their whole future for Zellweger.
And what is the odds of them
winning? What if Zellweger makes the Ducks next year and doesn't even go back to Kamloops? Then you get him for a half a season and a Memorial Cup run?
He's probably not going back, because next year they are going to have nothing. How many 20-year-olds do they have on their team?
You can only have three.
Okay, so they have three or whatever. But I'm just saying, like, they're mortgaged the farm. I mean,
like, somewhere a 12-year-old in Saskatoon is going to get drafted by the Everett Silvertips. You have a lot of picks.
God, it's crazy. But I don't know. That's the way the league is.
It's a good question, though. It's a good debate. It's a really good question. It's one of the best listener questions we've had in a while.
It is. It's been a good one. We are at the midway point of the season. We're going to keep plugging away and see if these struggling teams can find their way. And if any of these teams that's been rolling are going to find their way out of the playoffs. Blake and I are back again next Monday night. Same place, same time, same great hockey talk. It's all here on the Debate Hockey Podcast. Get connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey, and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out DebateHockey.com and on Twitter at DebateHockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.